It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy, boo. Well, happy Halloween, happy Samhain, everybody. Happy day before All Souls Day. Happy night before my dad's birthday, or would have been. No, I hope everybody has a happy end of the month of October. This is the horn. Blah. Blah, blah. If you would like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza. Why are you talking like Melanoma Trump, Bob? No. Just head on over to headon.live and click on the chat room. Then pick out for yourself a screen name and password. And there you will immediately be greeted by the likes of Anatole. And capably moderated by Pinchit Midweek Utility Chatroom Moderator and all-around great guy, O-positive, I might add, Steve from Georgistan. Blah! Hi, I'm Vlad Kincaid. Yes. I went ahead and identified myself so Ron and Raleigh wouldn't have to write and ask me, was that... the seldom heard from Vlad Kincaid. Why, yes, yes, it is. Old Dracul Kincaid. Drac-Kincaid. There we go. Oh, for pity's sakes. You know, it is Halloween, but we fool around and do some engage in shenanigans from time to time around here. And seeing as how we want to be as close to a real, live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding, professional radio, professional progressive radio broadcast as we possibly can, I thought you might be interested to start the program this evening. Well, here's how it worked. It was a lovely day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan. And I had just walked back into the into the Fellowship Hall kitchen because the little old blue-haired ladies there had sent me out to the Wiggling Pig for groceries. They were planning, you know, it being Halloween and spaghetti sauce being red and everything, they were planning on doing a big pan of baked spaghetti for dinner. Garlic bread, of course. Naturally, right? Yeah. So I walk into the Fellowship Hall, Fellowship Hall kitchen, and I got all my groceries with me, and I hear, "Hey, Bob." And I turned around, and there wasn't anybody there. "Yeah, Mac, over here." I looked again, nothing. But then the air began to shimmer just out of my reach. And suddenly, a 6-foot-tall rabbit appeared before my very eyes. And before I could holler for the little old blue-haired ladies or the little old blue-haired men in the fellowship hall kitchen to come a-looking, he said, "Yeah, don't bother. A Yeti only one what can see me." And I was flabbergasted. I rubbed at my eyes. I rubbed at my eyes again. Shook my head a little bit. And he, "Ain't going away." I said, "Well, who are you?" He said, I am a Southern Baptist pooka. And I'm tired of the vampires getting all the attention each and every Halloween. Interviewing with the vampire. Interviewing with the Christian conspiracy vampire theorist. The wolf man. That little bastard's got fleas. The mummy. He can't even say anything. Now, I'm repeating to you what I heard him say. It was kind of like it was inside my mind. So I said, what do you want? He said, "I want to be on the show, Mac." I said, "Well, okay. So here, to begin this Halloween broadcast at the Horn, I have in the studio with me a real live pooka from ancient Celtic mythology. And he wants you to know that he's tired of the damned Easter Bunny getting all the press. Mm-hmm. You'll never hear him, so I'll have to translate for him. Or I guess I'm the medium. Actually, I'm a 2XL, but who's counting? I was a medium in college. So you're a Southern Baptist pooka. Okay. Well, first of all, do you plan on hanging around with me from here on out? It never worked out for Elwood P. Dowd. It caused rather a whole lot of confusion. Yeah, I see. You only show up when you're either aggrieved or have work to do. You don't have any work to do you, bud? Good. And you're not the Easter Bunny. Yeah, we got that part. But you kind of are, aren't you? Because that's where Christianity absorbed a pagan myth about a rabbit, aren't you? A pagan myth about a rabbit. I see. You came in the form of a rabbit. No dirty jokes, please. You appeared in the form of a rabbit because you thought that's how best I would recognize you? Because of Harvey. Yes, right. I see. But you've been known to appear as a possum? Well, I like possums. But you also trick people into following you into the netherworld. Is your buddy a banshee? No, I was not insulting your mother. I see. No, I will not rub down, I will not put the olive oil extractives on your fur. Now quit that. That's disgusting. Well, don't go away in a huff. You're magic. You don't even have to use a huff. I think we had a perverted Pooka here. He was no Southern. Well, that would make him a Southern Baptist Pooka, wouldn't it? The whole thing was about asking me to put the oil on its fur. Well, he was already invisible. Apparently, that olive oil extract will make your spouse something near to invisible, and he already was. Well, hopefully he stays gone. Never a dull moment around here. Now it makes me wonder about all the possums I'm seeing. But that's it. Our highly professional progressive radio account interview with a Southern Baptist Pooka. Mm-hmm. Wow. That was just cool. Yeah. Ooh, looking right autumnal and pretty there in the Bronx. Steve from New York. I imagine it's pretty there where Steve from Georgistan is, too, but that photo came from Steve in New York. Lee in New York says, Melania's accent? That sounded like Count Van Count, who lives on Count Von Count, who lives on Sesame Street. It's a big family. Lee also suggests, if you start seeing talking rabbits, I will believe that you visited the planet from the episode Shore Leave. Oh, my paws and whiskers, I'll be late. Obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Thank you for getting us started, Lee. Of course, you could also watch Cat's Paw for the mumbo jumbo. Bill in Allentown says, you sounded like Gene Rayburn, the original host of the Match Game. Well, I'll take that as a high compliment. I spent many a happy hour as a kid watching the Match Game. Meanwhile, Les says, I couldn't figure out if you were supposed to be Melanoma or Count Dracula. Anyway, be best, blah. I added the blah. Yeah. It rubs the olive oil on its fur, or else it gets disappeared for sure. Mm-hmm. So now that we're done with that, a couple of program notes. One, this is the final broadcast for the month of October 2018. Thorn in the Side Thursday will see us begin the month of November. Two, this is going to be one of those truncated broadcasts, only 2 hours long. I got a call from my buddy Mike Malloy earlier today, and it turns out that in the effort to deal with the ongoing nightmare surrounding the domestic disaster that touched them, the contractor's coming this evening, and so the studio will be busy being measured and inspected and neglected and rejected. So consequently, at 8 o'clock Eastern time, I'll shut all of this down and reboot everything so that we can have a Halloween program there with the Malloy program at 9. Please make a note of it. Mm-hmm. Note coming in from Scott in San Diego. And in Halloween candy news, Reese's created a machine to swap out all the Halloween treats you hate. God, when I was a kid, you'd get down to the bottom of the bag and there'd be nothing left but the black licorice jelly beans. Ugh. I tolerate a little bit of good licorice, but not that. Ugh. Um from KCTV News Channel 5 CBS. Whether you hate Tootsie Rolls or, there it is, licorice. The truth is, we've all received Halloween candy we don't like. But this year, Reese's is coming to the rescue with their very own candy exchange machine. Reese's Halloween candy converter machine was first released to the public on Sunday, October 28th, during a Halloween parade in Tarrytown, Old Tarrytown, New York. The machine allows people to trade in the candy they don't want for Reese's peanut butter cups. According to a recent survey commissioned by Reese's, 90% of Americans say that they've traded or wish they could have traded their unwanted candy on Halloween. This from an interview with Anna Lingris on CNN. Is this for real? I think it is. As the number one Halloween candy, with over half of candy buyers purchasing Reese's, Reese's has come up with a solution. Give us your unwanted candy, and we'll give you what you actually want, Reese's peanut butter cups. This applies solely to New Yorkers. The rest of you have to eat your goddamn licorice. Right. So anyway, as I was saying, I did deliver the groceries to the little old blue-haired ladies there in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. And they did come up with a big old plate of baked spaghetti. And it was some kind of yummy. You know, they put chopped pepperoni in it and the ground beef and the sauce. And I got them some cheap red wine for the sauce as well. It simmered all day. And they made several pans of baked spaghetti with lots of Parmesan and golden brown bubbly mozzarella on the top. And they made enough garlic bread, brethren and sistren, to keep a whole platoon of vampires away. And it was garlicky. And then over on the dessert table, yes indeed, there was they really, really went all out. They made up a white chocolate bread pudding with Himalayan salt as just a gentle flavoring there. I brought them their very own tub of Himalayan salt from the far Himalayas of Paramus, New Jersey. Apparently they've got lots of that over to the Big Lots. And, wow. I don't reckon the Deacons had ever had white chocolate bread pudding with Himalayan salt. But they soon figured out that they sure enough did like it. And there wasn't so much as a granule of the said Himalayan salt remaining when they were done. And all we could do is sit around and look at the little ones. And as they said, "Tell us about the Himalayan salt, Bob. What does it taste like?" And of course, I could only say, "Hey, you're going to have to grow up and be a brother deacon if you ever want to find out. Because they ain't sharing." So they trundled their massive bulk up that couple of flights of stairs and wandered out into the parking lot, fishing into their pants pockets for their lighters and into their jacket pockets for their cigarettes. And they took to chain smoking out in the parking lot with the sinners. They did. Until, they managed to light three or four off of each other. They know 2 hours is a long time. And what's more, they knew that they didn't have any work to do because this is fundraising free radio, the last night of it. So they knew that they were going to be able to sit in their seats and take a long mid-autumn nap. So they weren't even particularly, well, they were, I'd say they were downright insolent when Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door with the crackle of the solar-powered cattle prod drawing their attention. They didn't stampede. They didn't hurry. They sort of waddled and ambled in combination, brethren and sistren. They slowly and insolently walked past Sister Carol and walked into the vestibule and walked past that desiccating bowl of butter mints. And instead of stopping down front here with me and standing up there and waiting with the brass, heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates in hand, no, they was real full of themselves. They just got right into their row and plopped their massive bulk down onto the pews, and you could hear that old oaken bench creak and groan under the burden of it. They crossed their arms over their chests, and I don't think they had been seated for more than 15 or 20 seconds before they were sound asleep. Every now and then I get a little snore. That's what I keep the squirt bottle for, just to keep them honest. But nonetheless, brethren and sistren, the Minister of Music is still on the job. And so consequently, I will call on the Minister of Music to come forward and lead us in our non-offertory prayer. Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, maresy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren, how glory! I am calling upon you to get up off of your seat and onto your feet, brethren and sistren. And I want you to, if the Spirit is a-moving upon you, I want you to screech and scrunch and wiggle and waggle and waddle. And I want you to come on out from betwixt them pews and careful where you so there ain't no more pew. And then I want you to, how glory, amen, come on down that blood-red aisle and fall. Fall upon your knees at the altar, brethren and sistren, and lay your hands upon the, amen, glory, subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server. Ho, on high. I am Archpope, Uber, Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Ponerized Pontiff, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid. and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Help! Glory, amen. I want to start, brethren and sistren, this evening. I want to start up in Michigan, because it was Michigan where Vice President Mike Pence, soul neck geek, went up to help out with the campaigning of a God-fearing candidate. Yes. A God-fearing candidate who just wants to make America Christianer. Sorta, kinda. It was a... well, it was a rally, a political rally. To help advance the political fortunes of a Republican candidate. Campaigning there in Michigan. And it was shortly after the horror had transpired at Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And, Mike Pence, who is an evangelical and who really doesn't know much about the Jewish faith, well, he felt like he needed him a rabbi to offer condolences and lead a prayer. And the problem is, he got a rabbi by the name of Lauren Jacobs to lead the prayer. But Lauren Jacobs isn't a real rabbi. He's a fake rabbi. Because Lauren Jacobs is actually an evangelical Christian. Mm-hmm. He opened his prayer with the following words: God of Abraham, God and Father of my Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. At which point, any Jews in the audience were looking at each going, what the? He said, what? Yeah. The evangelical vice president reached out and got, these people refer to themselves as messianic Jews. Or, as you may have known them back in the day, Jews for Jesus. Which, was it the late, great Sam Kennison who said that's like Christian, Jews for Jesus is like Christians against drugs? Rock stars against drugs. I ruined that, didn't I? Yeah. But it gets worse, brethren and sistren. It turns out that when he started praying, instead of actually mentioning the people who were slaughtered at Tree of Life Synagogue, well, dang it, he started mentioning Republican. He started praying for Republican candidates for political office. Almost as though the massacre at Tree of Life hadn't even happened. To the best of my knowledge, Vice President Mike Pence, soul neck geek, has never apologized. But the problem won't go away. because it turns out that the fake rabbi that Mike Pence brought in is more of like a fake rabbi. But this isn't algebraic, like multiplying negatives that yields a positive. This just gets worse. He got stripped from, he got defrocked, or was stripped of his rabbinic ordination 15 years ago. Who did that to him? Well, the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. Jews for Jesus defrocked the fake rabbi. So, for all intents and purposes, Mike Pencilneck Geek could have just dragged some dude in off the street and said, here, put a hat on, pray. Meanwhile, Marla Hornston, she's the former president of the Michigan Board of Rabbis, said, we don't even recognize him as a rabbi. Even to call him a rabbi is offensive. A statement from the Rabbinical Assembly, which is an in-gathering of conservative movement rabbis, and the conservative movement sort of sits in the middle between the Orthodox and the Reformed. A statement from the Rabbinical Assembly said, Judaism itself is a multi-denominational religion that encompasses multiple forms of expression and belief. Nonetheless, so-called Messianic Judaism is not a Jewish movement. And the phrase Jews for Jesus is a contradiction in terms, insofar as Judaism does not recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. Right. That sort of makes sense. It's kind of like inviting Jerry Falwell Jr. to climb up to the top of the minaret and deliver the muezzin, if that's how you pronounce it, you know, the call to prayer in Islam. How much of a screwed up ideologue do you have to be when you can't even when your religious weirdness, your evangelicalness doesn't even allow you to simply reach out to a rabbi, of which, you know, there's not a shortage or anything. There's just to deliver some words of comfort at a. But then again, maybe they did. Maybe Mike Pencilneck Geek's team did, and there weren't any rabbis who particularly wanted to be to be up on the stage with him, flogging the dead in the name of something as tawdry as a political campaign. As my Jewish friends might say, oy vey. But it's just another day in Trump-merica, right? Right. And moving on to other religious traditions and other outrages. This story's actually a week or so old. But the folks over there at the Family Research Council, as headed by Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Tony Perkins, sent out an email recently to the blast list of the Family Research Council. Remember, the Family Research Council email list was founded with an email list initially purchased from David Duke of the Ku Klux Klan. Not kidding. But they send out a prayer of the day email. And the email, again, not joking, the email implored recipients, I wish I was joking because this is genuinely sickening, asked for prayer for, and I quote, pray to God for the right to harm LGBT children and elect far-right Republicans. He was praying, or asking for prayer, that Republicans be elected who would revive the entirely discredited theory, if you can even, no, it's just a hustle, of conversion therapy. No, really. Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, said,
we must resist politicians who advocate for adults and or children to be prohibited from seeking psychological and spiritual help when they suffer from unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion. Such are combatants on the front lines of the culture of death.
Now, to be fair, Tony Perkins sent this out before what happened at Tree of Life. But it really does tell you all that you need to know, that Tony Perkins thinks being gay is being part of a culture of death. But, you know, having enough guns to start a war and you maybe running into a synagogue screaming all Jews must die, oddly enough, those are just Republican voters. That's not a culture of death. Perkins wrote, God, as we draw near Election Day, please guide all Americans, but especially your people, to vote for men and women who will lead our cities, counties, states, and nation in a way that is pleasing to you and that will bring blessing to your people, our nation, and all the nations. May we be found worthy for you to raise up godly men and women who will honor you in public office and prevent those who will disregard you and your laws from gaining power in any level of government. We must support true advocates of the family who will boldly oppose every initiative across America that fosters sexual revolution, undermines God's laws pertaining to marriage, and undermines parents' authority to guide and educate their children according to their faith. Nothing in the prayer there about electing people to office who will make sure that no child in America goes to bed hungry at night. Nothing there in the prayer about electing people to office who will make sure that children aren't kept in dog cages in the United States of America. Nothing in there about electing men and women to office who will make sure that children aren't put in concentration camps in this country. Not a peep in there about electing people to office who will make sure that no child lacks a home in Merca. No, just a prayer for the right to harm LGBT children by tormenting their minds in a culture that already torments them in the first place. Because, you know, God is love, y'all!
right? Sure. And then, well, we gotta go to Talibandiana. At which point, I know our friends like Dave in Talibandiana, and Joan and others. Going, oh no, this is not going to be good. Not Talibandiana. Yeah. There's a Christian website out there called Barb Wire. No, that's not a joke. Wait a minute. Darlene in Connecticut. Not getting the program. And I've already had emails saying both the White Rose stream and HeadOn.live are working fantastically. Darlene may be in one of those places where they're served by Frontier. Could be trouble. No, in Talibandiana, there's a guy who used to be in the legislature there in Talibandiana, and now he's an evangelicalist whose name, not at all ironically, is Dr. Don Boyes. Please, Goddess of Irony, don't let his middle name be Little. He got all worked up about them Me Too women's. And Dr. Christine Blasey Ford sent him right up a tree. And in response to the credible allegations of sexual misconduct against Brat Kavanaugh, he got right wrought. Only fools are fanatics or feminists, but then I repeat myself. Say that all female sexual accusations against men should be believed, period. A false accusation can destroy a man's family, finances, and future. All sexual assaults should be seriously looked at, and any rapist should be executed as in bygone years, and any false accuser should be branded with an L on her forehead and horsewhipped out of town. Paren, figuratively, close paren. Still trying to figure out which part of that is figurative. The branded with an L on her forehead or the horsewhipping out of town part. Maybe because it wouldn't be a horse whip, it would be a woman whip. Then that would be literal. Some common sense definitions are necessary regarding this accusation. Rape. Wait for it. Get the hockey puck. God, this harkens back to Todd Akin. Rape is having sex with a woman while she screams for help. No scream, no rape. According to Deuteronomy 22:23-24. Not to mention Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Duck. So, see, all you have to do is put your hand over your victim's mouth like Brat did with Dr. Ford, and it isn't rape or even attempted rape. And then there, Matthew 18:16 clearly commands that there must be at least two witnesses to validate a charge against a person. This is a repeat of Old Testament law. Well, I hate repeats. Ford has no witnesses. The other man who was allegedly there, Mark Judge, said it's absolutely nuts. I've never even seen Brad act that way. Not that he can remember, because he's also written it. Mark Judge also wrote books about how drunk out of his freaking mind he was pretty much throughout his teenage years. So, just remember, if you want to get your Christian rape on, don't let her scream, and don't do it in front of two other people. Do it in the dark, in a room, say, with the music turned up really loud. So, Brother Boys, please, Goddess of Irony, don't let his middle name be Little. Just got to repeat the prayer now and then. He wrapped it up this way. So the Bible and thousands of years of history support the fact that a rape victim must resist or there is no rape. My critics have presented all kinds of scenarios to prove the Bible wrong. What if she's incapacitated, she's deaf and dumb, she's too scared, etc.? However, that's covered in God's command for the Jews to do justice for all, under all conditions. Yeah, another Christian out there writing the scripture that belongs to Jewish people. It's a 2,000-year-old case of cultural appropriation. No kidding. As Jerry Clower once noted, ain't God good? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Heather. Heather letting me know, yeah, everything's working well. I'm going to be a smart aleck here. I'm going to write back to Darlene. Have you tried turning it off and back on again? And couple of emojis to convey. Let's see. Sorry. Never got to use that before. I hope Darlene can. Darlene says, okay, duh. My speaker was disconnected. LOL. Hearing you loud and clear now. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, Darlene. So you just heard the email that I. Yes. Hung Like Jesus, responding to Brother Boys, says, I wonder if those rules applied to all black men that turned into strange fruit. Well, of course not. Because, you know, he believes in a literal interpretation of the Old Testament right down to the talking snake. And that means that, if you're, you know, black, then you're walking around with the mark of Ham on you. Not even the mark of prime rib. No, you know, the whole Noah thing that God punished one of Noah's sons by turning all of his progeny black folks. They really believe that because they're sick. They're really, really sick. And never mind the fact that human beings were black, are black, and that white folks is kind of a cracker come lately in the terms of in anthropological terms. But let's run. Let's run over to see what they're up to in Branson, shall we? Jim Baker has been working the somebody's going to kill Donald Trump side of the street for a while now, even though there have been no credible threats against him. Now, by this time in the Obama presidency, there had already been more. Well, not, let's not say by this time, and let's say over the course of the Obama presidency, the Secret Service handled more threats against the life of the president than what every other president combined. Yeah, all right. But Jim Baker, well, Jim Baker.
And we got an election coming up in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you all don't get out and vote, you're going to feel so bad. All you, everybody needs to vote. I don't care who you vote for. I mean, I care, but you got to
vote. For God's side.
Don't go around complaining if your candidates don't win if you didn't vote. All right, so it is so important that we begin to do these things because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Do you think God is using President Trump? Some people think he's not.
Jim's kind of struggling here. But I'm sure that somewhere along the way, this is going to turn into a pitch for the sales of bucket pudding, which still sounds just filthy.
Do you feel like God is using Trump?
Well, sure. And I think sometimes in spite of Donald Trump's inability to articulate as well as we would like him to, right?
Yes.
That's his problem. He's not articulating quite right. It's just an articulation problem. Meanwhile, the prayer meeting Wednesday is already getting under the fingernails of Alexander. The sick, hypocritical Christian, conservative, Republicans, and there's lots of K's in there, and evil jealousists. It really make my whole black ass ache and my flesh crawl. Fuck 'em one and all. Not with yours, Alexander, not with yours. Certainly not with mine. But I understand you're speaking metaphorically. These people take things literally, though, so we have to make that clear.
There are times I have to admit I cringe. I'm like, please stop tweeting. But on the other hand, he is an outsider.
Yeah. I mean, notice they chuckle, please stop tweeting. They read his hateful tweets and they chuckle.
He's not, you know, in the political deep state. He's really not, you know, what do they call him?
Which, by the way, the political deep state does not exist. But continue on, brother. Skip a bit, brother.
The people that have been in this business for a long, long time.
Business
and
it
so
is.
And so because of that, God is using him. He really is like a Cyrus-like figure.
Yes.
Sometimes he's a little bit like a Nebuchadnezzar-like figure. But the whole point is God's kind of using him in spite of himself. What I really like about Donald Trump, he reminds me of a baby Christian. Mm. He reminds me of somebody that just...
You know, if he just stopped with baby, we might have actually had a rare point of agreement with an evangelical. Baby Christian. Mm-hmm. Randy in PA noting, I guess Trump isn't endowed with the gift of gab. Well, it's not the gab he's lacking. It's the, brain cells. Lee in New York says, subject line, using Trump. As Jim Baker suggests, God is using Trump. Why not? Vlad uses Trump. Ooh. Yeah, you know what? What's the difference between what's the difference between Donald Trump and a Russian toilet seat? after he uses a Russian toilet seat, the toilet seat doesn't follow Vlad Putin around.
Comes out of a really rough life where they just did anything they wanted to do, whether it was drunkenness or whatever, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I would see that in our church. And I always said, I want my church full of drunks and prostitutes and all that. I do. I wanted them there, right?
Makes for a hell of a lot more fun church, and the socials are a much, much better. But you best not be talking about wanting prostitutes there to Jim Baker. I mean, it might that might violate his parole.
Because I knew this is the hospital they need to be in. And Trump kind of reminds me of that. And if you watch him, day by day, his language, everything else, is becoming more, I would call it, Christian refined, right?
God has really dealt with me that if our president is assassinated...
Oh, he dealt with you all right.
It will be judgment on America. Mm-hmm. God's going to protect him as long as we pray over him.
Yes.
And we keep praying. I mean,
the Secret Service has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's like March 15th, 44 B.C. Julius Caesar sent his lictors home, said, nah, I'll just walk to the Senate by myself, me and some buddies. Didn't work out too well. But according to Jim Baker, Donnie there could just get rid of the Secret Service and he'd be just fine because God's not going to let anything happen to him.
Miracle, he's surviving. Miracle, he's doing what he's doing. And I just want...
Yeah, miracle? He keeps using that word. I don't think it means what he thinks it means.
The people of God to know that we have to move and we have to pray.
Yeah.
We have to vote.
Yeah.
We have to cover with the blood of Jesus, our children and our families and everything that's around it.
Yes.
This is the new age.
Does that whole cover people in blood business creep you out as much as it does me? Because it creeps me right out. And just to point this out, he made that remark.
And we have to pray.
Yeah.
We have to vote.
He made the cover in blood remark.
On America.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to protect him as long as we pray over him.
Yes.
And we keep praying. I mean, it's a miracle he's surviving. Miracle he's doing what he's doing. And I just want the people of God to know that we have to move and we have to pray.
Yeah.
We have to vote.
Yeah.
We have to cover with the blood of Jesus our children and our families and everything that's around us.
Cover people with blood. He said that less than 24 hours before the massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue. There is no exploitation, there is no evil of which these evangelicals are not capable. Now, it hasn't been mentioned, but knowing what the demographics of this country are, Robert Bowers was charged today with 44 different federal violations of law, including charges that can lead to the death penalty. And he's virulently anti-Semitic. And I'll guarantee you, if you ask him, he would gladly tell you he's a Christian because he's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into his life and has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Steve from Georgistan says, even as a kid, the hymn about being washed in the blood of the Lamb used to creep me the f*** out. because it's creepy business. Because that part of it actually comes from a different cult in ancient Rome, in the ancient Roman world, the Mithras cult, in which an initiate would stand in a pit, and the pit would be covered with boards, and they would lead a bull out onto the platform, sturdy boards, and slit the bull's throat, and as the blood drained out of the dying bull, it would fall down through the cracks in the boards, and the new initiate into the Mithras cult would be literally washed in the blood. And why let a, you know, why let a good image, a good metaphor go to waste? And the Christians, who basically formulated their religion out of bits and pieces and of other religions, I mean, they bogarted one religion's entire holy book. In fact, they bogarted the little cult and turned it into their own religion from that same faith tradition, Judaism. They bogarted the terminology from Roman temple practice, Pontifex Maximus, anyone? Julius Caesar was the Pontifex Maximus, among others. The chief priest, the highest priest. And they grabbed the washed in the blood business from the Mithras folks, because Mithras was really, really big among the Roman soldiery. Which, incidentally, as soon as they got Christianized, ceased to be much in the way of the Roman legions just weren't what they had been before when they got all Jesused up. Yeah. So, we got Jim Baker. But again, this, this goes back to the day before the massacre. And we've heard from Rick Wiles on a number of occasions on this program. And among other things, Ben Shapiro, upon the announcement of the identity of the... Well, and with the bomb, you know, with the spate of the, well, the bomb stuffer and the MAGA bomber, whichever term you prefer. Well, Ben Shapiro said, as so many Republicans were running around screaming, false flag, false flag.
Them Democrats are mailing bombs to themselves.
Ben Shapiro didn't jump on that bandwagon. This does not make Ben Shapiro a nice person. It just meant that that was one lunatic right-wing theory too far for him. Well, Ben Shapiro done pissed off Rick Wiles. And this is what I mean when I say that people like the guy who shot, who murdered two African-Americans in Kroger's in Jeffersontown, Kentucky, or Robert Bowers in Squirrel Hill. What it's part of what I was talking to Dave Nywert about last night, and that is, you don't if you're a white winger, and if you are inclined toward violence, you don't have to work very hard at all to find people who will affirm your tendency toward violence. Now here's. It's all tax-free Rick Wiles on Ben Shapiro.
But not all conservatives are questioning that this could be a false flag. One prominent pseudo-conservative, Ben Shapiro. Let me tell you what little Ben said.
Little Ben, pseudo-conservative. Did I mention that Ben Shapiro is Jewish? Yeah. Now, this is before they got Cesar Sayoc, and all of the wing nuts were running around screaming that Hillary Clinton, apparently down in the basement of the pizza joint in D.C. that doesn't have a basement, was making bombs, and Barack Obama was making bombs, and George Soros was making bombs, and right. Well, Rick Wiles exposed the real spirit of the movement. Little Ben, pseudo-conservative.
He said that he condemns, he's condemning the false flag theories. He said, quote, "If your first reaction to some evil person sending bombs to a variety of politicians on one side of the aisle is false flag, you are officially deranged."
Right.
And, well, given the number of clips that we've played of Rick Wiles, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian, Ben Shapiro may have actually been right.
Ben Shapiro, why are there any Christians listening to Ben Shapiro? Why are there any conservatives listening to Ben Shapiro? First of all, as a Christian, you need to know this. Ben Shapiro openly denies the deity of Jesus Christ. He says, as a Jew, he has no reason to need a Christian Savior. Those are his words.
Yes.
Okay? I don't know why any Christian is reading and following Ben Shapiro.
You got that? Don't listen to anybody who isn't part of your faith. It's almost like listening to, I don't know, Radio Tehran translated into English and Christian. Once again, it's not the particular brand of the religion. It's the fundamentalism of it. Whether it's Wahhabi Sunni or Shia Islam in Iran or evangelical fundamentalist Christianity as represented by the Jim Bakers and the Rick Wileses of the world. But right here is some of your free speech. This is the kind of shit that we have to put up with so that you and I can engage in free speech that doesn't advocate killing anybody or criticize anybody for being Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or anything else for that matter, even Christian. Okay? But if you gave Rick Wiles an opportunity, he would if you gave him the power, he would pass an anti-blasphemy law tomorrow, yesterday. And people like you and me would be in fucking prison. More on that in a moment.
Jesus Christ, he says, as a Jew, he has no reason to need a Christian Savior. Those are his words.
Yes.
Okay? I don't know why any Christian is reading and following Ben Shapiro. He has a spirit of Antichrist.
Bang! A spirit of Antichrist. Well, what do you do with somebody who's got a spirit of Antichrist? What do you do with people who deny Christ? Why don't you ask Robert Bauer? Why don't we ask Cesar Sayoc? Because remember, in addition to being a stripper and a pizza delivery guy, he was a big Christian. And there are moments, not as a matter of ego, but there are moments when I wish that this program had somewhat broader reach. There are moments when I wish that we did a little bit more in terms of expanding on some particular messages. The other day, I saw an interview over on Salon with Mike Pence's daughter. And the person interviewing her, and I can't remember the name right off the bat, I apologize. I just remember the content. The interviewer, speaking to Mike Pence's daughter, asked her a straightforward question. Do you believe the Jews are going to hell for not accepting Jesus? And she ran circles around that, but never quite found her way to an answer. There was hemming, and there was hawing, and there was equivocating, but no answer. Because she didn't dare give the evangelical answer to the question, because there is no question about the evangelical answer to the question. Jerry Falwell didn't hem and haw about it. I imagine Jerry Jr. probably doesn't either. You can ask most Southern Baptists out there, are the Jews going to hell for not accepting Jesus? And they'll promptly say things to you like, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Or they'll say, in response to a question like that, they'll say, well, anybody who doesn't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is going to hell. I'm not being mean. Those are just the rules established by the Almighty Creator of the universe, they think, who can bend and break any rules he wants to because, well, he's the Almighty Creator of the universe. But instead, they prefer a world, a Christianity. They prefer a world that is dominated by Christianity and, in turn, an afterlife. Jesus. Wrong term. That is bifurcated into heaven and hell, where they're definitely going, and unless you believe like they believe, you definitely aren't. If you get very, you know, if you get kind of pushy about it, you will not have any problem getting like a Southern Baptist or various and sundry other forms of Protestantism to say that when a Jew dies, a Jew goes to hell. Now, they're not being particular. It's not focused specifically on people who are Jewish. When a Muslim dies, a Muslim goes to hell. When a Hindu dies, a Hindu goes to hell. When an animist dies, the animist goes to hell. When a Jain dies, the Jain goes to hell. When a Buddhist dies, the Buddhist goes to hell. Everybody's going to hell but them. And then, even within the various and sundry sects of Christianity, there are some who are pretty sure that other alleged Christians are going to hell. It was worth keeping in mind, especially yesterday when Julius Geezer went to Pittsburgh, that he is broadly supported by people who think, and if you press them, well, I don't think it, I know it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That everyone massacred at Tree of Life Synagogue was gone to hell. Imagine the brutality of mind that it takes to say something that evil, that hateful. And they believe it. Now, this in turn ties into some of the stories that came out of the aftermath of the Tree of Life massacre. Namely, the right-wing Jewish people and organizations who claimed that somehow or another the left was responsible for that massacre. Because there is a dangerous game of footsie that certain conservative elements, certain conservative Jewish groups, Republican Jewish groups, play with evangelical Christianity. I think particularly that one group, Queefy, Citizens United for Israel, that was founded by that nasty old evangelical huckster. Starve at that guy. Hagee. John Hagee of San Antonio. It's dangerous and it's cynical because these evangelicals believe in a literal millennialist or premillennialist or postmillennialist world in which when Jesus finally comes back in his holy roles, he's going to say, "Round up the Jews." And when they're all gathered into one place, there will be Christians, they firmly believe this, and it's a terrifying image. And they'll say, "All right, you Jews, bow down and admit that Jesus is Messiah." And the way they read their New Testament, any Jew who doesn't do that, they get to kill him. It's a little more, I guess, poetic in the King James Version. Put them to the sword. And there are, you know, the only reason I have a dog in this hunt is because I don't like genocide. I don't like murder. I don't like slaughter. I object to the execution of innocents. And there are far too many people who do not know any of this. But whenever you see some Baptist, some Methodist, some Presbyterian of a particular variety, your Pentecostals, what have you, talking about how much they love the Jews, or particularly, not so much that, but how much they love Israel, you may rest assured that the reason they love Israel is because they find it necessary for Israel to exist so that in their own end times fantasies, someday they're going to get to go a Jew hunting. I am not making any of this up. I could not be more serious if I had, I don't know, a hype man standing next to me, punctuating my statements. I was horrified by what happened on Saturday, but I was not shocked. Because there are some Christians out there who just want to get a little jump on the proceedings. So, if people like this Rick Wiles monster, and make no mistake, he's a monster. Well, he knows where he wants to be on Judgment Day, and he wants to be holding a sword in his hand. And, of course, the Jews that get killed on the last day or the day of judgment or whatever, well, they're going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire that is reserved for the devil and his angels. Because anti-Semitism is a kernel, kind of the way a computer processor has a kernel. Now, maybe I'll get emails saying, well, Bob, that's not really how it works, but it's going to work this way for the metaphor. A kernel in a processor controls everything that the processor essentially does or is able to do. So, for instance, if you run a random number generator on, well, the kernel will keep that random number from being truly random. All right. And the kernel at the core of Christianity is a certainty that there is a degree of, and there's, by the way, there's something that happened with the audio here, and I don't know what it is, and it's bothering the hell out of me. But there's a core determination that Jewish people bear some culpability in the crucifixion of Christ. And it's a theological conundrum because the crucifixion had to happen in order for the rest of the story to work. You see. But they've been working out a 2,000-year-old vengeance ever since. And so when a day before the slaughter at Tree of Life Synagogue, Rick Wiles, Christian, referred to Ben Shapiro, who simply disagreed with him on a particular point, as an antichrist, well, you know all about him that you could ever possibly want to know. Remember, a certain guy with a penchant for Charlie Chaplin mustaches 80 years ago, 85 years ago, declared of his movement, "Ours is a Christian movement, and we will not tolerate people speaking ill of Christianity." Robert in Australia says, the Ten Commandments, so thou shalt not kill has an asterisk next to it. Oh, Jesus, they've been, wrong guy. They've been putting asterisks next to that for 2,000 years, Robert. Scott in San Diego says, my aha moment just now came to me, Bob. The perfect description of what the religious crazies have in store for us all should they ultimately prevail. Ready? Ahead for us all is taking up residence in a world that is essentially an endless Jack Chick comic book gospel tract. That is, if we don't bother to vote on November 6th in unmistakable and unprecedented numbers. Yeah. Those of you who have ever seen a Jack Chick tract, usually left on the back of a on a toilet tank or on a urinal in a men's room or a ladies' room somewhere, you'll know, you know exactly what Scott in San Diego is talking about. That's true. Randy pointing out that the Bible also says pi equals 3, not 3.14, but 3. Wonder how they square that circle. Well, remember, that was written by people who were baffled by wheelbarrows. Yeah, that's what we were talking about, Steve, says Vice President Richard Cranium. Did you see that he invited a Messianic Jew to give a prayer for the... But as I said, Steve, not just a Messianic Jew, but a fake Messianic Jew. Even further removed from reality. Right. Randy in PA points out, it's not a sky spook sending down a lightning bolt that I'm afraid of. It's the sky spook's rabid followers. Well, you can prove they exist. Mm-hmm. So, just to anybody, and the cynical part of it is that, you know, there are people. There are people, say, in the Israeli government who say, you know, look, that's their crazy fantasy. It's never going to happen. It ain't real. But we're not going to say that to their face because they support us, and we'll take support from anybody we can get. And like I said, that is a dangerous game. Remember, I think it was John Hagee of Queefy, the founder of Queefy, who said that Hitler was inspired by God because he drove people to be ingathered to Israel so that Jesus could come back. Yeah. So just to wrap things up with Rick Wiles, again, the clip that you just heard where Ben Shapiro has a spirit of Antichrist. Well, on the 29th, which was Monday night, Rick Wiles addressed the issue of the slaughter in Pittsburgh by explaining to everybody just whose fault it was. Here's a hint. Not Rick Wiles's. Not Nazis. No.
Hey, as we close, I mean, we all know what happened over the weekend. Another horrible, tragic mass shooting in this country. Folks, this stuff has got to stop.
Yeah, it's got to stop. Not going to do anything to make it stop. I'm going to continue to support the National Ruble Association, who helps to put the firearms in the hands of people like Robert Bowers. But it's got to stop. Well, gee, Rick Wiles, how's it going to stop?
It's just got to stop. We're tearing ourselves apart as a nation. This should not be happening. No matter what our differences. Nobody has a right to take somebody else's life.
What happened to the souls of the Jews who were shot there, Rick Wiles? Nah, you won't say that out there, will you? No, you won't. But we know what you think.
Nobody. Because you disagree with somebody, because you're different, you don't have a right to physically attack anybody because they're different or you disagree. Not only is this not American, it's definitely not Christian. And this behavior has got to stop. It's tearing our nation to pieces.
He keeps saying that. Here's the problem, though. The Christianity to which he subscribes, says that all Robert Bowers has to do is say, "I'm sorry, Jesus." And Jesus forgives him for slaughtering 11 old people, ranging in ages from developmentally delayed and 54 years old to 97 years old. And Jesus will go, "Hey, man, it's cool. We all have bad days. You're forgiven. When you die, we're going to have a harp and a halo and maybe an AR-15 waiting for you right here at the pearly gates. Just tell Pete I sent you."
And innocent people are suffering. And then there are survivors who have to go on the rest of their lives with the pain, the loss caused by somebody who just went berserk.
Yeah, he just went berserk. He wasn't weaponized. He wasn't inspired. He wasn't driven to it. The toxic ideologies to which he subscribed had nothing to do with it. He just woke up one day and said to himself, "All Jews must die." And then he took the guns that he'd been collecting, because that's just an all-American pursuit, collecting, say, semi-automatic Glock pistols that have 19-round capacities and an AR-15, and it popped the magazine in, and, well, you know, these things just happen.
So let's all of us bring down the comments, let's lower our voices. We don't need any more of this stuff. It is faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that's going to change this world.
Wow. That takes some, to borrow a handy word, chutzpah, to say that the only thing that could have kept the 11 elderly Jews at Tree of Life from being slaughtered is if they had had faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. Just solid brass.
Change our nations, change our communities.
Yes.
It is faith in Jesus Christ. And Doc, let's close today's program. I want to pray for the people of Pittsburgh, the families, the Jewish families that lost their loved ones.
Yeah, tell them where they lost them too there, Rick. Come on. You won't do that, will you? You'll just keep these things and cherish them in your heart, won't you?
Let's pray that for God to comfort them. And let's just pray that everybody across the nation, we just lower our voices, okay? All of us. And the left needs to do this too. They need to lower their voices. They need to stop. I mean, this stuff of holding severed heads of President Trump, you got to stop this stuff. Having these mock executions of President Trump, cutting his head off, guillotines, this stuff, you got to stop it. We've been warning for a long time. This is getting out of control.
He's been warning. Uh-huh. The guy who said, what? Yeah, Ben Shapiro has a spirit of Antichrist. You know, the same statements that were made before practically every pogrom that ever took place in Europe. The Jews have a spirit of Antichrist. The Jews! Mel Gibson standing drunk out of his mind on the side of the road saying he'd been pulled over because of the Jews! The Jews poison the wells. The Jews make matzo with the blood of the babies. The Jews control world banking. Those are
all statements that were made by Christians. Yeah. See how it works. But we've got to tone it down.
Their loved ones, let's pray that for God to comfort them. And let's just pray that everybody across the nation, we just lower our voices, okay? All of us. And the left needs to do this too.
What are we supposed to lower our voices about? Pointing out that mindsets like those of Rick Wiles and Donald Trump are what leads to these things? In his weird-ass belief system, there's this business about if you're going to cast out a demon, you have to discern the name of the demon. You have to discern the spirits. Remember, Chappie Klingenschmidt's always out there discerning the spirits. Remember that? So why can't we on the left? Huh? What left? We on the left have to stop pointing out, as, say, Dave Nywert and I did last night, the absolute disparity between right-wing violence and left-wing, largely non-violence. Yeah. Yeah, the left. But, now, this was after the slaughter at Tree of Life. But listen to what he's thinking about.
They need to lower their voices. They need to stop. I mean, this stuff of holding severed heads of President Trump.
Holding severed heads of President Trump. That happened once. It was a comedy stunt. It was Kathy Griffin, and that was the end of it. And she practically had her career ruined over it. When nobody who doesn't live in under a fucking bell jar at Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium thought that that was anything resembling real.
You got to stop this stuff. Having these mock executions of President Trump, cutting his head off, guillotines, this stuff, you got to stop it.
What did I miss? Where was the big guillotine? Did he say guillotine? Where was the guillotine party? You got to stop producing Julius Caesar. I saw some poor little freak snowflake all bent out of shape about that the other day.
This is the violence of the left, you know, doing Julius Caesar, Shakespeare. Got to stop doing Shakespeare because it offends the snowflake, evangelical Christian maggots.
We've been warning for a long time this is getting out of control. And everybody needs to be responsible.
Yeah, everybody needs to be responsible. It's getting... He's been warning? He hasn't been warning. He's been inciting. I can't... I don't... How many clips of this freak have I played? But, yeah. And guess who else's fault it is?
CNN. You need to get your news people under control.
Yes, get them under control. Tell them to only publish happy sunshine daisy little girls feeding ice cream cones to squirrels happy news about the God Emperor. Don't question Trump. Follow Trump. Do as the leader directs. And then we'll all be happy, and people from my side of the from the right side of the right wing side of the ideological spectrum will stop murdering elderly Jews in synagogues. Bargain?
MSNBC, you got to get your news people under control.
Yeah. MSNBC. Do something about that. That adulterous couple you've got on the TV in the morning. Yeah. Why? Why must MSNBC get their people under control?
You're allowing them to say things that are inflammatory and insulting millions of people in the country. You can't...
Really? So you, if you're a maggot in this country, you about can't go to the store for a jug of milk and a loaf of bread without some TV journalist sticking their microphone in their face going, "Tell me about your economic anxiety and how come you love the God Emperor so much." The truth. As their holy book, the one that they worship and thump but don't read, says, the truth ain't in 'em. Not at all. A few minutes left in the program. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm here. How about you?
I'm all right. Hey, is there 2 minutes left in the program?
No, I said a few minutes. We got about 20 minutes.
Oh.
I have to knock off early this evening because I'm filling for Malloy at 9.
Oh, well, good for you. That's great. Okay, that's great. But, you know, you put a whole lot on the table, and I don't even know, how can we find a middle? I'm going to try not to be emotional. I really am.
Breathe.
But how?
Don't make me call Tracy.
Okay. Excuse me. So, all right. How can we find a middle ground when people with responsible positions in our government, in our society here in America, just talking about America right now, refuse to accept the fact that, I mean, the simple fact, it's simple, it's science. There's a positive correlation between the rise in hate crimes and the ascendancy of this fascist, this mentally ill fascist, from the inception of this campaign until the present time. Now, of course, you can't draw cause and effect from a positive correlation, but let's be real.
Correlation is not causation. I know that very well.
I know you do, but it's a signal. It's a red flag. It means we have to examine this further. That's what it means. And then, you know, we'll all be vindicated. But this is, you know, the way you laid it out, it's actually frightening. We're dealing with a bunch of crazy people.
Right, and they don't – look, their idea of toning it down is surrender. You people who don't like Trump, you people who voted for Trump by almost 3 million more Americans than voted for Trump, you 60% plus of America who don't approve of the horrible, awful, vicious, unconstitutional, anti-constitutional, anti-human things that he's doing, y'all shut up and we'll stop killing you. That's their idea of compromise. Now, that just leads back to your question. How do you do that? Do you do that?
Well, look. First of all, let's deal with his spokesperson. First of all, I never did like the woman, but Huckabee's daughter, and I'm using that term loosely, had the fucking nerve to reiterate this lie that Trump won a popular vote. Did you hear her say that in the last press conference?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was.
See, that's not helping. That's not helping. That's making these people feel validated. The people who are the minority.
But she wasn't saying anything, Todd, that they didn't already believe. Because remember, a fundamental tenet of Trumpism is that if it hadn't been for all the illegal votes that were cast for Hillary, he would have won by a popular vote landslide. Do you remember that? That goes way back to like January 2017. I know it's hard to keep up, but that's real.
Yeah, no, I do remember that.
So she was just, I mean, she wasn't saying anything new. She was delivering received teaching.
Oh, that was well put. Okay. That was Wednesday speak. Okay.
Sorry. It's Wednesday.
And back to something else that we had talked about previously. These people are living vicariously through this cultish regime. This is why that asshole you just played. What? This severing a head. You know what? People have been doing that for thousands of years. They have been. The Greeks used to hold plays to get people's tensions off. You know, this is what people do. You know, instead of going out and physically doing something, you know, you have a play. You make fun of people, or you do it in the guise of drama. Well, not even the guise. That's probably the wrong term. But you know what? So what? So what? That's the way I feel about it. The guy is a reprobate. He's mentally ill. He's a fascist. And I'm going to tell you one fucking thing right now. The longer that we allow this fascism and this Nazism to fester, the worse off we will be. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to bring that up. But we've been talking about this for 2 years. Since it became clear that he was going to be president, back 2 years in October, it's been 2 years. It might have been this week we talked 2 years ago, and we knew that hate crimes were going to spike. We could see it coming. You know, we could see this coming. But this is who we are for a lot of people, because they're not. You talk to these people, they're not willing to change. Steve King.
No, because they're right. They're right, and we're wrong. And they are religiously certain of it.
But see, that shit, religion is private shit. Keep that shit. I'm sick of these people on Washington Journal calling and say, "God bless Donald Trump." They say we need more prayer in school. Everybody's not Christian. How fucking stupid is that? Oh, I sound terrible. Let me stop. I don't like hearing those comments, you know, and it has nothing to do with what faith I am or not. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. You know what I mean? It's not the point. The point is, as Americans, we have to do something now, because they can't even stand the fact that people are shouting at them when they go out to eat. They ought to be glad that's all people are doing.
Well, our side, that's pretty much all we do.
Well, that is all we do. Because we you know, we're more cerebral than they are. They're just, you know, they react. They're reptilian people. You know, they clap when they say, "No health care, let them die," and they cheer.
They did that.
They do a lot of things. They don't like the truth. The truth hurts. The truth hurts. You know, the truth is uncomfortable. So, yeah, this is why that pastor or preacher or whatever the hell, that little child molester sounding motherfucker, that's what he's saying. It's like, you understand, when you beat up on Trump, you're beating up on us. See, they take it personally. That's their messiah. So how do you compete with something like that?
Well, that's a new concept. Punkin' colored Jesus.
Oh, shit. It is Halloween.
Boo.
Goblin ass. You know, this is really, I'm not, like you said, I wasn't shocked either. How long have you been saying they drink liquor and shoot guns? I mean, it was just a matter of time. Yeah. So for a few minutes this afternoon, I listened to Jeff Rentz. And he has this ongoing segment. I think it's called Shark Hunter. And these people fetishize. I thought it was just a whim, because last time I listened to him, it was on there. And it's been I don't know. It's been a long time since I listened to this program. But apparently this is an ongoing theme with these people. They, you know, it's not tongue in cheek, but they fetishize these Nazis. They really wish the Nazis had won the war, some of them.
They're watching the man in the high castle as a happy fantasy. You know, because it's a Christian America, it's just that there are Nazis all over the place, in control. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, no good can come of that.
I mean, look at this country. Let me find it real quick, Todd. And I know that little stories like this, again, association is not causation. Yes, I get that. But there was a gun show in Kentucky, you know, the same Commonwealth where the guy just happened to spur of the moment decide to dress his kids up as Hitler and Eva Braun for Halloween and just happened to have a Waffen-SS uniform around, complete with all the regalia and the Nazi party pin, and he just happened to throw it together and they just happened to go out. Right. Well, also in Kentucky, there was a gun show on, and I didn't even know we had one of these, National Gun Day at the Kentucky Expo Center in Louisville, not far from Jeffersontown, Kentucky, where a white guy wanted to blow away a bunch of folks worshiping in a historic black church. Just saying. Well, at the gun show was a guy named Walter Kanzler, K-A-N-Z-L-E-R. And, you know, because they don't just sell guns at gun shows. You know, you can get popcorn and a hot dog. Yeah. Depends on how highfalutin it is.
Right.
And there at the table that Walter Kanzler was occupying, well, he... And by the way, this is last Saturday. This is the same day as the slaughter at Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And at Walter Kanzler's little booth, why, by Jove, he had swastika Christmas ornaments for sale.
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
So
and he also, and by the way, he had him a Klansman's robe for sale. Well, I'm sorry, Klan robes.
Wow. Okay, Venn diagram time.
Well, time out. There's a punchline here.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Okay.
According to the story in the Louisville Courier Journal, The gun show was held under the auspices of the Kentucky State Fair Board.
Mm.
And when the Louisville Courier Journal took their pictures of the Nazi Christmas ornaments and the Klan robes to show it to the Kentucky State Fair Board, the Kentucky State Fair Board said, "Well, you know, we'll think about maybe having a ban on Nazi memorabilia." Think about, consider, maybe, possibly, kinda, sorta.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I'll give them some cover on that. You know, municipalities don't want any lawsuits.
Well, yeah, and they don't want anybody thinking they're going to be trying to ban anybody's freedom of speech.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's cover.
Because we got to have freedom of speech to sell Nazi Christmas ornaments and Klan robes.
Well, yeah.
When Klan robes is outlawed, only outlaws will have Klan robes. And when Nazi Christmas ornaments is outlawed, only outlaws will have Nazi Christmas ornaments. Don't you understand? And by the way, all this happened also a stone's throw from the Kroger where the two African-American shoppers got blown away by the guy who later came out and said, don't shoot, don't shoot. White people don't shoot other white people.
See, I don't think that got enough coverage, frankly, for me. It really didn't.
No, it didn't.
For whatever reason. No, it didn't. You know, a cult is a hard thing to fight because it's not rational. It's not logical.
And ask anybody who's engaged in the process, deprogramming is damn difficult. From a comedic standpoint, you remember the struggle that Dr. Strangelove had keeping that one independent arm from just stiff arm Nazi salute. You know, and he had to slap the arm back slap his arm back down onto the wheelchair. Yeah.
Yeah, like he was having a tick. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hard to get over. Walter Kanzler, by the way, the Louisville Courier Journal reached out to him, and he said, well, I ain't got no political agenda. It's just because I'm interested in history. That's why I sell Klan robes and Nazi Christmas ornaments. Just interested in history.
They love to say that, and they laugh. They love to say that.
Heritage, not hate. And see, somebody actually noticed the Nazi Christmas ornaments and the Klan robes, but I'll bet you couldn't go three booths in there without running across a Confederate battle flag.
Oh, come on! That's in there. That is so passé now. That
If you ban Confederate flags from gun shows, we won't be able to have any gun shows, and then you'll be violating my Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, yeah, so the Venn diagram, because we all...
Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted. I apologize.
No, you didn't interrupt. This is your show. Look, you're the one giving out information. I'm just yapping, running my mouth. But, you know, that's that intersection between the Russian spy, Butina, the NRA, the Christian right, the evangelicals, and the Klan. See?
Yep.
They're all in that... They're all overlapping. And you know... We would be much better off if they would just accept the fact that, yeah, we're racist. We don't like it. It would be like Steve King. See, at least he's saying who he is. That asshole 2 years ago said that only white people have contributed to Western civilization. You know, black people, the brown, they ain't do shit. This place wasn't shit before the white folk got over here. You know, that's basically what he said.
I'm sorry. You hurt me with that one. It wasn't shit before the white people got here.
What? Can't you? He's such a. I can smell him over the phone, and he smells like cow dung.
Hey, you're on the phone with me, remember?
No, but that look. It's not my fault you have a party line.
Give Steve King. Well, I don't know why you liberal leftists can't give Steve King a chance.
Give him a chance. Wasn't that the? You know, give him a chance. We gave him a chance. You know what? All Trump needs is some gold teeth and some gold chains, and he will be an inner city Negro in the minds of a lot of folks. He got the baby mama. He's shiftless. He lies. It's just.
You know, it's been a few days since shiftless has entered the conversation here, Todd. I'll thank you for that, I guess.
Shiftless and a ne'er-do-well.
Scofflaw, you left out Scofflaw.
Yeah, he probably is a scoffer. Well, I don't know what to say. All I can say is that I hope these folks don't steal too many votes this time. And we're in a hell of a place. But we have to remember these people are living through this whole. They're living through this, the embodiment of these people. This is going to be difficult. This is going to be really difficult, but you know, we had no other choice but to try. We got to do something. Well, anyway, so happy Halloween! And
did you have trick or treaters tonight?
No.
Or did they do that all on the weekend?
I I didn't participate. She took them out and everything. I'm here. You know, so I'm here. I had some other things I had to take care of. But, beautiful pictures. They're dressed up like Mickey and Minnie. And so they look cute. Yeah, and so hopefully it'll be a better world for them. We'll see what happens. But, you know, we're moving backwards quickly. And I'm you know what I'm scared of?
What's that?
If and when. When the stock market crashes, this is all going to get worse. Because history shows us that when economics get tight,
people get mean.
They get really mean then. I mean, they're mean now. The economy is supposedly good. So what's going to happen when the stock market bottoms out? So I don't know. Anyway, take care. I hope you can get people will be listening to see what's going on. And, I haven't listened to Malloy in a while.
Well, you'll have to check it out over on Progressive Voices.
He's probably not going to like this, but last time I listened to him, I don't know, it sounded like it was a bad chord.
Oh, no. They have had, especially since about the middle of the month, horrible audio problems because their basement got flooded, and that's where the studio is. And it occasioned having to take everything out and put everything back, and just a nightmare.
Okay, I was just curious because well,
but considering anyway, considering the gremlins that happened here, I got nothing to talk about. So you know.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, look, Todd, man, you have a good evening, my friend.
You too, my friend, and take care, and people contribute, and look, man, we have to keep our heads up.
We absolutely do. Yeah. We absolutely do. And all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Take care, Todd. See you, man. Somebody, Todd, calling from South Carolina. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. It sure has been nice. And thank you for all of you who helped made it possible to meet our fundraising goal for the month. I love having 5 days of fundraising free radio. I just love it. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share in the program, share your precious finite time. Thank you very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Pinch Hit Midweek Utility Chat Room Moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you very kindly to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Happy Halloween, everybody. I'll catch you about an hour. Remember, if you want to, you need to listen to Malloy through Progressive Voices, because I don't have the video thing going on, but it'll be up at Progressive Voices in about, 57 minutes, or 56 minutes and change. Later, y'all.